Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star Safari. Welcome to Y Space.
Welcome.
So, well, there's a lot going on in space. Well, there's always a lot going on in space. So I was reading the other day that 120 satellites came out of the sky in January, the Starlink ones.
Which we saw a lot of them at Star Safari.
Not them coming out of the sky, but them... But they're certainly going past.
We saw some of them coming down off the sky because people are confusing them with...
shooting stars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is... So 120 satellites coming out of the sky, you think, okay, that's quite a lot. Now, this corresponds with the bunch that were launched about 5 or 6 years ago. So what's happening is the constellation... Well, it's a mega constellation, so they've got to keep...
what's a mega constellation?
Well, a constellation of... So it's not a constellation like star constellation, like Leo or anything like that. This is a constellation of satellites. So when you have more than one satellite, you call it a constellation. Though having two satellites, if you called it a constellation, that'd be overdoing it a bit, I think. Maybe three or four, you could get away with calling it a constellation, I suppose. But anyway, there's the next kind of step up is a mega constellation, and that's where many, many thousands of satellites are in a constellation. So Starlink is the only mega constellation at the moment. There are others in the process of being built and planned, and actually some of them are starting to be launched as well. But this is the operating mega constellation. And of course, it delivers internet worldwide, high-speed internet, so it's pretty good. Lots of customers, it's...
Everybody's
going
happy.
Going very well. And now, of course, you know, some of the phone networks, you can actually use the text messaging service on Starlink to send your texts wherever you are in the world, which we used yesterday, actually. We were in the middle of nowhere. So it does work. What's happened, though, of course, when you launch these satellites, they aren't up very high. They're between about 500 and 700 kilometers up. Now, there's still a fleeting bit of atmosphere up at that height. Not much, just a little bit. And like if you couldn't go outside and feel it, you'd be still in pretty much the vacuum of space. But there's a little tiny bit of air, a little few air molecules every now and then at that height. And so it's enough that that creates a tiny, tiny bit of drag on the satellites. And these satellites are going pretty quick, 28,000 kilometers an hour. So a little tiny bit of drag creates a little bit of force, and that very, very slowly over a long period of time slows those satellites down. And so that degrades their orbit. So as they slow down, they get lower and lower and lower.
Well, that's the reason why when the International Space Station was built, they built it at 350 kilometers because that's where the space shuttle could reach. But then once it was complete, they boosted it to 400 kilometers, which is currently, so prevented that...
Get out of the air a bit more.
Yeah. Because otherwise it would have deorbited in, what was it, a year?
Well, if you do nothing, it'll orbit still. But so every month they have to boost it, don't they? They go up and down about 50 meters or something.
Yeah. Every few weeks.
Yeah. So the Starlink satellites, what they do is they just slowly degrade over time. And that's what's happened. So they have a lifespan of about 5 to 6 years, and then they burn up. So what we saw in January, which Starlink released these figures, I think it was Starlink, and 120 of them, you're burned up in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And you might think, okay, well, that's great. Did it hit anyone on the head? No, fortunately. Remember, most of the world is ocean, and there's not too many people wandering around on the ocean at any given time compared to the amount on land. So the chances are a satellite burning up and anything making it through the atmosphere.
Whales can't complain.
Yeah. Well, they'll be underwater. So.
Yeah.
So, you know, debris hitting someone... it's a numbers game. Eventually someone's going to be hit. But these things basically burn up entirely in the atmosphere. So there's no bits that kind of make it through because they're quite small anyway. And they are going enormous speeds. So basically all the metal and components and everything basically just vaporizes. And this is...
This might be an issue.
Oh, well, it is a bit of an issue, yeah. So you have Aluminium is one of the main elements used in making satellites, keep them light and strong. And aluminium oxide is what you get when you burn up aluminium in the upper atmosphere where there's a little bit of oxygen. So the aluminium bonds with the oxygen, you get aluminium oxide. And it turns out aluminium oxide is not good for the ozone layer. In fact, it acts as a bit of a catalyst for the chemicals that degrade the ozone layer.
Just like the CFCs we just got rid
Yeah.
of or thought we did.
Yeah. So here we are putting all this extra stuff up into the atmosphere now, which might stuff up the ozone layer. So just when we figured out that we could solve the ozone layer problem, we'd go and create another problem for it.
Another problem. Well, and there are a lot of satellites every time we look in the telescope, which is every night almost. There is someone, but not just once. Two or three times, someone is getting super excited. Ooh, I saw a shooting star. And here I am, always in a cold voice, reminding them actually, that's not a shooting star. It's a satellite passing through in the
Yep.
eyepiece. So it doesn't matter where you point the telescope, you see some sort of light gliding through eyepiece. It makes for a nice light show, but knowing what it is.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it before, it's quite
Yeah,
spectacular.
it is fun, but fun doesn't equal with safe here on the long term for our planet. So hopefully someone will wake up and they will think of what's going to happen with these satellites.
So as we know, ozone's quite important. It protects us from ultraviolet radiation, mainly from the sun. So that's what gives you sunburn. You go outside and it's the damage being done by ultraviolet radiation. That's the bad news thing for melanomas and so on later in life. And so this is what we're a little bit worried about, of course. New Zealand has, we get burnt pretty quick down here in the sunshine, and we have quite high rates of melanoma. Now, I'm sure the satellite companies, well, I hope they're thinking about this and they'll figure out something to limit this, but this is not a good thing.
Well, yeah, and it was interesting because when we were doing stargazing a few years ago, people were asking, "Oh, so what do you think about these satellites? Are you guys getting annoyed by them?" And you do and you don't get annoyed by them because in a way they're the signal of in a way they're the signal of progress. So you've got these satellites and you can actually see them and you see that something is going on and humanity maybe it's going to become a spacefaring civilization, which will be good for us because if we do, we solve a lot of problems that are happening here on Earth today. We'll have more independence, we'll have more technology because the technology to go to space is very complicated, very complex. You have to keep people alive in incredible conditions. You have to invent new, reinvent yourself basically to be able to go to space. That's why space is such an amazing challenge and a fantastic way to propel humanity forward. So that's one thing. And so it's good to see that something is happening there. But then on the other side, when you think of all of the bad things that are happening with the telescopes, and we used to say to people, well, look, when the whole satellites thing started was because astronomers were taking pictures of stuff that they were doing, so they were going to do their job and they couldn't do their job because you had all these satellites coming in front of their objects that they were looking at. And at that stage, the only people outraged were the astronomers. Because, like imagine going to your work and someone takes the tools away from you and it's like, oh, you can't. You actually have to wait for someone else who decided that is going to do something else instead, like when you're waiting for the road to for the green light on the road or something like that. And so
Now, bans of roving outraged astronomers tends not to be a public safety issue.
no.
Yeah, so astronomers getting angry
Who
is
cares, right?
yeah, not, people don't generally notice. It's not like
No.
it's going to cause mass protests or
But
anything.
then the next thing we've learned about satellites was, oh, actually, you know how everybody was very upset and confused about all these near Earth asteroids that are going to come and hit any of these countries. And when there was a couple of months ago, there was an asteroid alert that was going to come and hit Earth. And all my friends were texting me and they were like, we're going to die. What do you know? What's going to happen? Where's it going to land? And we were just
Probably in
watching
the ocean.
the news as well as everybody else. And then nothing happened, right? So how do we know these things are happening? Well, we do know because we have a bunch of telescopes that we are pointing out at these asteroids. So we're measuring where they are, what's their trajectory, and so on. And most of these telescopes are on land, on planet Earth. That's why we have to go to space as well to put telescopes in space to do this surveillance job, because right now all of these things are on Earth. And so telescope looks at asteroid and satellite comes in front of it. Now, when you look at an asteroid, you have to have a few pictures, not just one, to make sure that that object is actually moving on a trajectory. And if you have a satellite coming in front of your picture, maybe the program that you're using doesn't register that there is an asteroid out there. So that was the big issue a couple of years ago. Hey, wait a minute.
Well, it never went anywhere. It's just that the media gave up reporting it because it went on to other things. But
No, yeah, of course.
the problem, of course, has got worse because there's more
But
satellites.
now there's this aluminium oxide problem that we have to worry about. And who knows what's going to happen next? There might be something else. Hopefully not, but.
Well, so one of the things I was reading was that different countries around the world are kind of, especially with the bigger space agencies, they're sort of thinking, all right, we've got all this stuff up there that's dropping out of the sky. One day, this is going to be a problem with debris hitting stuff on the ground. So the chances of random bits of space junk spacking into the ground where people are is increasing. Now, at the moment, you're probably not going to be hit by a piece of space junk in your entire life. You're probably not going to know anyone that's ever been hit by a piece of space junk. And as far as we are aware so far in the world, no one has been hit by a piece of space junk. Now,
Yep.
there has been bits of space junk falling out. There's quite often like second stage or first stage rockets that come plummeting back down, and there's, the social media is full of the pictures on in Chinese villages of bits of the first stage rockets coming back down and landing near villages and stuff. And normally that's avoided by the people who launch the rockets firing them out to sea. So the big chunks of components sort of fall into the ocean. Of course, SpaceX, they recover their first stage that lands back down so they can reuse it. So aside from that debris that doesn't quite make it to space, then there's the, yeah, eventually there'll be stuff, raining down on us. From space. Well, raining down is a bit of is a
So
total exaggeration, but bits of stuff falling down once in a while.
it's not always bad to find things that have fallen out of the sky. As it turned out, we went meteorite hunting,
Yeah, so
and we haven't found anything.
we have a meteor camera at Star Safari, and it's part of a network of about 150 or so cameras around New Zealand. In fact, around the world, actually, there's quite a few countries of these, and they're all sort of joined up. But anyway, the network in New Zealand has New Zealand very well covered. So every time there's a shooting star, which is like a little tiny little rock whizzing through the upper atmosphere at high speed from space, it burns up in the upper atmosphere, just like those satellites do. And of course, that leaves a lovely trail, and we just see it as a quick flash. But on the camera, you can measure that trail. You can see where it starts being bright and then where it goes dark again. And you can measure those bits. So if you have a couple of cameras, or more than a couple, about three or four cameras pick up that shooting star, you can measure where it started being bright and then where it finished being bright. And if it makes it through the atmosphere, then you can work out where it might land. Now, last year, in fact, about this time last year, this was very successfully done near Tekapo. There was an asteroid, the cameras down the South Island flashed up. There was something came through, and they narrowed it down to about a square kilometre of ground just out of the township of Tekapo, so between that one and Burke's Pass, I think it was. And they organised a search, and 40 minutes into the search, they found the asteroid. They actually found the rock on the ground. And what was really interesting, it was the people who found it was a group of three of them. They were walking to the search area. So they weren't even in the search area. They were walking to the search area,
They
kind of stumbled across it and thought, oh, that looks like what they're talking about.
were trying to do the pre-training of the training.
Yeah, and voila, they found it. So
But the conditions were really good,
yeah,
and
where
this
it landed was,
bit of asteroid was quite big, was the size of a
about your fist. Yeah.
fist, and it was the grass was burned, like was dried, and because it was
Yeah, well, there wasn't much grass either. So it wasn't much
so
vegetation.
you could see it.
There were a lot of rocks, though.
So repeat again this year, same issue, same camera, same thing comes down from
But
the
in the North
sky
Island.
in the North Island. What happened in the North Island in the last 3 months? Lots of rain.
So, well, on the East Coast anyway. Obviously, it's drought in some other parts, but it's what? So where this rock landed, it was on a farm, just on the East Coast, just south of Napier. And farm had a bit of growth, had a bit of rain, a little bit different. The grass was, getting long, sort of 20 centimeter long grass, 30 centimeter long grass, and a few ponds and a few trees. Yeah, quite different country, very, very hilly. And so search was organised. That happened on Saturday and Sunday, and so towards the end of March, and we went on it. So we volunteered to, well, for the Sunday anyway, for one of the days. We volunteered to traipse around a few paddocks trying to find this meteorite, which was great. It was a great experience. It was great to meet some other camera operators and some of the people that really drive this in New Zealand. It's called Fireballs Aotearoa. So that's the name of the organization
And
that runs it.
anybody can buy a camera from them to put it on their house and look for
Meteors, yeah.
really cool, meteors.
Now, the challenge that this one had was only a couple of cameras picked it up. So, but a security camera picked it up and somebody else's webcam picked it up. It might have been a weather one or something. So they had to sort of bring in other data. So that makes it a bit harder to work stuff out. But they got a fix on roughly where it would have landed. Then they had some good help with people doing data modeling in Scotland and in Auckland, at Auckland University, I think. And they were sort of crunching the numbers, looking at the weather patterns and trying to work out, where would this rock have fallen? So they narrowed it down to, it was about a box of about 600 hectares, which is a big box. It doesn't look much on a map, but when you're walking around, that's a big box. But anyway, within that 600 hectares, you could narrow it down a bit more to where there's a higher probability of finding it. And that's where we really concentrated the search. Unfortunately, we didn't find it. It was going to be a long shot anyway, but
So it
it was
was a good exercise.
definitely worth looking for it.
And so lovely meeting all these wonderful people who were there volunteering, just like us,
Yeah,
looking for rocks fallen from the sky.
and the owners of the property, they were lovely people, very, very kind, and they'd said, when if it gets found, happy to donate it, to a museum or to university to get analyzed. So that was pretty amazing, really. So it wasn't like we were sort of walking around looking for their rock. They were going to, yeah, definitely donate it. So that's pretty cool. Amazing experience.
So what's the light in the sky, looking north after sunset? What's that star?
What, to the northwest?
To the northeast. Like if you go outside at night, if anybody wonders, there's a bright star coming out.
Northeast, yeah, Arcturus, yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I answered your
Yeah,
question.
very good. And what's going on the western side of the sky this month?
Well, Arcturus is in the constellation called Bootes or Boots. Doesn't look like a boot. Don't know
Well,
what it looks like
means the
actually.
charioteer.
Oh no, it looks like a tie,
It
doesn't it?
looks like a tie. I always thought it looks like a tie.
Yeah. Like a tie you wear around your
Yeah,
necktie, yeah,
those ones.
cravat,
You
yeah, tie or
If I
cravat.
remember correctly, you discarded all of yours since you left the public service.
Yes, I don't wear ties anymore, except very occasionally. But anyway, there's a tie in the sky called Bootes, and the Arcturus is the star in that. Now, Arcturus is one of the bright orange stars in the sky. There's only a few of them.
And what's really funny, you can actually see it in the morning as well. So you see it in the evening on the northeast. And then you see it in the morning on the eastern, oh, sorry, western side of the sky. So it does the whole circle. So if
Well,
you're a
the
morning
arc,
person,
the arc.
yeah, the arc in the sky at night. If you're a morning person, go to work and wonder what's that bright star sitting.
To the
Yeah,
northeast, northwest
west,
view.
northwest. Yeah, that's Arcturus. And on the eastern side of the sky, there is the center of the galaxy coming up, Scorpius. It's really, really beautiful. You can see the red giant Antares on the horizon and a whole bunch of stars that are coming from the center of the galaxy, going all the way to the Southern Cross up high. So then when you go to work in the morning, just before sunrise, look up, just above your head, will be the center of the galaxy and Scorpius. And so it took so many hours from when you left it on the horizon after sunset to go overhead when you go to work in the morning.
Now, you've also got Venus appearing in the morning towards the east, of course. Now, the sun will obviously be rising a little bit later as we plunge into winter. And there'll be the little hiccup there of daylight saving, so that'll just move everything by an hour. But not long before the sun gets up, you'll see Venus. And of course, Venus is bright, very bright. So the real bright thing in the morning that you're going to see towards the east. It's going to be Venus. Now, you might recall that Venus was in the evening up until not very long
I thought you
ago.
were going to say it was the beauty of the goddess of beauty.
No, didn't
Okay.
even know that. No, I'm not big on the mythology. But anyway, Venus, the planet, will be, you might recall just a couple of months ago, that was very, very prominent in the evening sky. So it was that very bright object to the west just before or just after the sunset. So now it's swapped around. It's popped out the other side of the sun. So it's in fact we've it's overtaken us basically. What it's done, and now it's in the morning.
So what's the difference between Arcturus and Venus? It would be Venus is the brightest thing in the sky, basically. And by the time Venus comes up, Arcturus will be exactly on the other side of the sky. Just as an aside, its Pacific name is Hokulea, and it's the same name as the one of the canoes that was navigating through Pacific. So a very, very beautiful star name.
Now you might remember there was a lot of discussion about the Grand Parade of Planets, the Great Parade of Planets. Well, we've got a mini parade of planets this month, and that is Venus, Saturn, Mercury, and Neptune are all kind of near each other. They were within a few degrees of each other
In our
in the sky.
hemisphere, but nobody's going to write about them because they're not in the northern hemisphere.
Yeah, so this is your opportunity to get out there and see a grand parade of
They
planets.
are in the northern hemisphere, but the angle at which they are visible in the sky in the northern hemisphere will be lower, whereas here will be higher, so there will be
Well, it's almost they're almost
visible.
directly
Yeah,
east.
yeah.
So directly east on the eastern horizon, which is a little bit tiny to the left of east, you're in the morning. So if you get up at about 5:30, you'll see. Well, I say you'll see, but if you had a telescope, you'll see four planets. Now, without a telescope, you'll see three planets. You'll see Venus is pretty bright, so that'll be obvious. Now the sky will be brightening, so it will be a little bit hard to see. And then you'll have immediately to the right of it, you'll see Saturn, and then just below Saturn, you'll see Mercury. And if you had
Yay,
a
Saturn is
telescope,
back.
yeah, and if you had a telescope, you'd see Neptune. Now the cool thing about Saturn is, just a couple of weeks ago, the rings were exactly edge on. So if you do look in a telescope at Saturn early in the morning, you're going to see those rings very, very, very thin.
Or not, because it will be very close to the sun. But anyway, that's us, Harry and Sam
Yeah.
from Y Space.
See you next time.
Clear skies.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star Safari.